I want to examine two very important historical incidences that shows the effect of one who does not have insight. One such example is the Quranic story of Masjid al-Zirar. At that moment, a wahi comes down from Surah Tawbah, ayat number 107, telling the Holy Prophet the reality of this masjid. The beginning of the verse says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا زَرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Listen very carefully to the words the Quran uses. A wahi comes down from Jibreel to the Holy Prophet saying, this masjid is what's called the Masjid al-Zirar. Zirar, zarar, one that causes harm. Quran does not use the name of the masjid, but in fact gives the masjid a sifat, an attribute, to say this masjid is nothing to do with Islam. It's a harmful masjid made for what? Two reasons: disbelief and disunion. And then the Quran describes what a masjid is. It says, لِمَسْجُدٌ أُسَّسَ عَلَىٰ تَقْوَىٰ مِنْ أَوَّلَ يَوْمٍ. A masjid is created and is considered a masjid by Allah on the very first day. Its base is on the piety of Allah. Let's try to understand this point. The masjid was built in the absence of the Holy Prophet. He came, there's a masjid in front of him. If you and I were there beside the Holy Prophet, there's a masjid there. His hukum says to burn that masjid down. How many of us would understand the hukum of the Holy Prophet? Islam says, the Quran says, it's not about the building. It's about what's happening inside the building. It's not about the structure. It's not about how many Ya Hussein flags you have on the outside or the inside. Is the mission and the message of Imam Hussein being drilled inside the people or not? Or God forbid, inside these four walls where you have the names of the Ahlul Bayt, there's kufr and there's tafriq happening as well. If that's the case, the Quran is saying it's not considered a masjid at all. It's considered an avenue of zarar for the community. Let's understand that something might look like something, but the reality is something else. That's why Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, in the courtyard of Yazid, when Yazid was sitting on his minbar, Imam Sajjad refers to his minbar as what? He does not call it a minbar. He said, do I have permission to speak on this platform of wood that you're sitting on? Minbar in Arabic comes from nabara. Nabara in Arabic means bulandi, elevation. So long as the person sitting on the minbar is elevating you towards Allah, it's called a minbar. If it's not the case, it can't be called a minbar. But the moment Imam Sajjad sat on that wooden platform, it went from a takhti chubi to a minbar rasul. And let's be careful on who we call the Ahl al-Mimbar and who we don't call the Ahl al-Mimbar. A lot of my youth ask us, I need to learn more about Islam. Where do I start? They pick up these hadith books and they start to read. And that's all great, that's all fine. But if you really want to truly understand the beauty of Islam, read history. Sometimes to destroy Islam, you use the principles within that religion to destroy that religion. You use the masjid to destroy that religion. You use the word khilafat to destroy the actual khilafat that's coming. You use the word Islam. You use the takbir of Allahu Akbar. All of that is used now. It's become badnam now in society. All of that you're using to destroy the actual asli bunyad of Islam. And Muawiyah had the exact same tactic. We often wonder where this whole movement of Daesh is coming from. Trace their nasl back. Their nasl back starts with Siffin. When that spears in the Quran is there, the people are confused. They see the Quran, they stop. They see Ali, they stop. Ali says, please, that's not the Quran. Those are pieces of paper on spears. If you want to understand the Quran, ana Quran al-Natiq. I am the actual Quran. Identify me, everything else becomes clear. The problem was, they couldn't understand Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why? They were easily fooled by a man like Muawiyah, who had nothing to do with the Quran. All of a sudden, he says, the Quran will be our hakim, our judge. And they fell for it. Their eyes of insight were closed, and they stopped. And look at the result of this. This is the dangerous part. 20,000, half of his army, turned against Amir al-Mu'mineen. To the point where Amir al-Mu'mineen summons Malik Yashtar and says, Malik, stop the fight. He says, Mullah, give me 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, this war is done. He says, Malik, in 5 minutes, your Mullah won't be here. Come back. And from this moment, the Khawarij movement was born, as many of you know. These were individuals, the Kharijis, those who exit the religion, those who said, wait a second, if you accept this arbitration with Muawiyah Ali, then this Khilafat was never yours to begin with. Because if you are truly the chosen one of Allah, then you have no right to put that Khilafat on the table to sit there and negotiate with someone like Muawiyah. So they would send La'nat to Muawiyah and send La'nat to Ali as well. And they would exit the religion, thus being called the Khawarij. What is the dangerous part? These were the same individuals on Ghadir who put their hand in the hand of Ali and gave bay'at. The Qatil of Amir al-Mu'mineen gave bay'at to Amir al-Mu'mineen on Ghadir. The first lesson is, don't think for a moment that your iman in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen is enough. Iman is there, but what needs to fortify and strengthen that iman is the amal, and amal alone. Without amal, that iman will fade. In Nahj al-Balagha, in khutbah number 60, a person comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, Mubarak, congratulations. The Khawarij movement is dead. Imam Ali says that wallah, it's not dead. It exists in the wombs of the mother. Today, this whole Takfiri movement, this whole Salafi movement, this whole Khilafat movement, this whole Baghdadi movement, all of it goes back to that one moment in Siffin where they weren't able to establish who is right, the Quran that was put on spears by Muawiyah or Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's how important Basirat is. That's how important it is that in this era of confusion and fitna and facade, we have to make our vision clear to understand what the right path is and what the wrong path is. It's not easy. Don't rely on your iman alone. Add to your iman with amal. With amal, the iman fortifies to the point where your eyes begin to open. Once they're open, nobody can sit there and either confuse you or pull you off the path. There are stories, many stories, of individuals who started out to have the blessing of the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that walayat was stripped of them. People who were there on Khadir and witnessed Man Kuntum Mawla, and they deviated. Don't take it for granted that you have love of Ali in your hearts. And don't think it's enough. What is more important than that is to act on the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Like our sixth Imam says, that our Shias are either an embarrassment for us or a source of pride for us. We have to choose one. Either we are a lover of the Ahlul Bayt, or we are beloved by the Ahlul Bayt. It's one thing where we remember Imam Hussein. It's one thing where someone looks at us and remembers Imam Hussein. It's a big difference.